Well, the one thing we're having to change around as far as Media Matters is concerned is clearly due to the recent demise of Her Majesty the Queen. So really to attempt to address this, we're kind of sharing some thoughts from Madrid Drivettes, past and present, to feel really talk about their own sort of thoughts on the whole thing. And who better in many ways to actually go to than Jessica Burtis from North Carolina, of course, now studying postgraduate work at the wonderful Trinity College Dublin. Jessica, appreciate you're American from that point of view, but like myself, we've never known any other Queen of Great Britain. In so many ways, we've had world leaders across the globe coming out in tribute to Her Majesty the Queen. What were your thoughts when you heard the news?
I was shocked. I thought the first person who told me, I thought that they were telling a joke or, trying to just like be kind of morbidly funny, because I think like you said, we've never known any other queen. So the idea of her not being there is something that I had never really like even considered. So yesterday that was just a shock. I couldn't believe it at first. and then we had the radio on, and everyone was speaking about it from different areas of the British Isles, from Britain to Northern Ireland to the Republic, and kind of sharing their thoughts. And it was just, it kind of set in that it was real. And I think that it's something that people have kind of joked, like, oh, the Queen is this immortal figure, she's going to outlast us all. But a reminder that she's this kind of legendary figure now who set a massive precedent for the monarchy, but she was still a person and still a human.
Yep, 70 years that she occupied the position, and as many commentators would say, never put a foot wrong as far as that's concerned. We'll be hearing from Richard Fitzwilliams, of course, our royal commentator, who, as you might imagine, is very busy at present. I'm just interested in terms of obviously. She met, I think, something like 12 presidents of the United States, or at least encountered them. And it's one of the things that was pointed out, which I thought was quite interesting, is everybody from Trump, from Obama, from Biden, through Bush, and so on, Clinton, none of them actually had a negative thing to actually say. They were all kind of united in admiration, really, which in one sense, perhaps maybe it shows a light of optimism that we can still actually, as human beings, despite all of our problems, still actually unify in terms of how things are going. I mean, I don't know if you have any thoughts about that when obviously your own president, and presidents were very much saddened by the news.
I think it shows how universal she was, in that we have so much disrupt in the US, at least between our political parties, but that they were both kind of able to, unite on this idea that she was this very respectable person, who, well, to me, that's everything that she is respect. And I feel like that's what she commanded from the presidents that she met. I mean, she outlasted so many presidents' term. We're used to having someone in office for only 4 to 8 years, but for her, she's been a presence in people's lives for decades, and the presidents would have grown up seeing her and hearing her, as she was a princess and then, became coronated. And I think that that shows that even though they might have very divisive opinions in the US, they can still appreciate her, and just how constant she is and the type of person that she was. And I think that in the US, we're used to having a president for less than a decade and then hearing a bit about them throughout their lives, but for the Queen, it was different because people kind of saw her throughout her childhood and saw her grow up. And I feel like for a lot of people in the world, their lives were very kind of entangled with the Queen's. It's hard to disassociate the monarchy from her, because for a lot of people, she is the embodiment of the monarchy. And at least in the US, like when I think of a president, I don't really think of just one person, just because we go through them so fast. But when I think of,
Well,
you
the
know, the
equivalent to
British
prime
monarch.
ministers in many ways in Britain,
Yeah.
and I think 15 prime ministers, again a very significant number from Winston Churchill, who was born in the 19th century, to the latest incumbent Liz Truss, who of course was born in 1975. An awful breadth of experience there, and again, not surprisingly, we had tributes from Pope Francis, from Vladimir Zelensky, from indeed Vladimir Putin, which again maybe even sort of points out that there is a kind of sign that on one basic level there is a kind of human appreciation of the
Yeah.
work that she actually did. Have you had a chance to speak to your own parents, Jessica, who again probably like the two of us, kind of have never known any other Queen of Britain?
Yeah, my mom, like, she texted me and we were talking and she was just like it's so sad. England is never going to be the same. And I think that's true. I think so many people in the US, it's like they grew up with a presidency, but they often saw the monarchy as this very interesting thing, and the queen was always the figure for that, always there. Like my mom remembers her mom talking about when they didn't have TVs, so she had to go to the cinema and watch Queen Elizabeth at her coronation, you know, in a theater back when she was a little girl, and that's crazy to me that it's at least my family, three generations have watched the Queen in her life. You know, it's something that I think, even though we're not directly affected by the monarchy in the US, we're still very like attached to her as a person still, and we still appreciate who she is, which again shows just how universal she was and that so many people admired her. And it's not going to be the same, I think.
We've had quite a time, really, if you bear in mind, obviously, the pandemic, followed by the Ukraine invasion, followed by the death of Her Majesty the Queen. We now enter, of course, the era of King Charles III. Again, from a historical perspective, something which an awful lot of people are going to be having to adjust to in terms of clearly the image of Her Majesty the Queen on currency, on stamps. All of those aspects will be changed and will be changed and moved around. The probable coronation possibly won't be until 2023, but lots of things to actually work through on that. Do you feel that, I mean, clearly, as it's been said, it's the longest apprenticeship in history. He is 73. Clearly, Prince William, who now also becomes Duke and Duke of Cornwall as well as Cambridge, he hasn't quite been awarded as yet the title of Prince of Wales. Do you feel that actually that's something we can look forward to with optimism? Do we feel as though we just don't know? Again, your thoughts.
I think it's good to be optimistic, you know. I think that Prince Charles has had kind of controversial history at least in some aspects. But he did grow up with Queen Elizabeth as his mother. And I feel like if you grow up with her as someone in your life, you have to learn something from her, I would guess. And I think he has very big shoes to fill. My grandmother apparently always said that the Queen always had very suitable shoes and a matching handbag. So he has some very, very suitable shoes to fill, you know, like but I think that it's good to be optimistic. I think it'll be different hearing King instead of Queen. Obviously, that's something that people haven't heard for decades, something outside of our lifetimes. But I think, you know, people have grown up seeing him grow up. So I feel like, you know, it's a change in an era, but I think optimism is always the best policy. I think until, you know, it actually happens.
Absolutely. Jessica Burtis, thanks so much for actually sharing some thoughts with us about your own kind of views on Her Majesty the Queen. And again, I don't think you've actually met her as yet. That's not going to happen now, sadly. But again, from the whole perspective, obviously, when next you're at the University of Lincoln, obviously, we will be on a presumably still under the monarchy, but under, of course, the aegis of King Charles. And again, just a final point that a listener might not be aware of. Back in 1986, it was indeed Her Majesty the Queen who officially laid the foundation stone for the University of Lincoln. So there is always that connection with respect to the University of Lincoln and the royal family. Back in April of this year, of course, we were delighted to feature for her debut on the production the fantastic award-winning children's author Diane Floyd Boehm. And one of the things she actually said in terms of the musical choices was she was quite keen on Elvis Presley gospel numbers, which is one of the reasons why we thought for this day in particular we would actually feature Elvis Presley singing How Great Thou Art, which is what we've just actually heard. Diane, welcome back to the Madrid Drive as our designated author of the week. It's a difficult time, as I'm sure you'll appreciate, in terms of the period of mourning that Britain and arguably the world is going through, having lost Her Majesty the Queen, and obviously the uncertainty that that brings with a new monarch, and in our country, of course, a new prime minister as well. So you've got a double whammy in terms of issues with respect to that. You're based in Texas. Just would you like to share with us any initial thoughts that you've had since obviously hearing the news of Queen Elizabeth's passing?
I'd be happy to. And I was deeply saddened by her passing because she's been the queen my whole life. And to me, she's queen of the world as well. And the most amazing role model. I always thought, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a history lesson from her? It'd be just like, I would be like, wow. I mean, just straight from her and her life and experiences. And I just thought she would go on forever. So I really am sad. I was driving down the highway when I heard the news, and it's like I almost had a wreck because I was so upset about it all. So I'm sorry for your country for losing such a precious woman and leader. And
But I was so touched by the rainbow, which you show right there, that appeared because it just shows that, she's okay. It's a blessing. And I'm sure, as one person on one of your radio shows stated yesterday, she's probably dancing with her loved one. So.
This is certainly one of the key aspects, and I think that universal feeling of love and appreciation for a life well lived is probably one of the other phrases we can actually use. It doesn't matter which part of the globe you're based in, which particular country you happen to be based in. I think certainly we appreciate the outstanding service that she actually provided, as we were saying earlier with Jessica Bertis, of course. I think something like 12 US presidents. She's actually encountered 15 British prime ministers. That's an awful lot of history. And I know you're a keen historian as well, Diane. So lots of areas there. And as you rightly said, like so many of us who are not in our 70s and 80s, we're still in that position where effectively she's the only queen that we've ever known. So, again, that's critical from that point of view. And speaking of Jessica Bertis, we're delighted to welcome Jessica back to the program now. We were just saying about your own thoughts, Jessica. Let's move on because clearly we do need to move on. We are now in, I think, the Charolean era. We've passed from the Elizabethan era, and it's now the Charolean era that the world has actually encountered from that perspective. As we said, delighted that you're back with us, Diane, great to see that your fantastic work is continuing with indeed A Time to Fly, a new release that's all about a baby bluebird capturing your heart as he shares with his mama why he doesn't want to leave the nest and join his siblings.
Oh, well said.
I mean, again, it's something which you could say it applies in so many ways to the whole human condition. This. So share with us initially. Why you decided to actually develop this and also have that message that's underlying, which arguably both are the new British Prime Minister Liz Truss and indeed the new monarch King Charles III will have to sort of dig deep into to actually utter those words, they can do it.
Wow, you are absolutely right. The book came to me because, in actuality, in our backyard, I had this beautiful post. So if you see the book, the pictures are really stemmed from pictures that I had taken, and our family watched, and I have on video these three little birds from the time they hatched, and two took off, and one had no desire to live. I mean, to leave the nest, just had no desire. It was comfy, cozy. Why would I leave? And the mama would come, and it was just, I just, we were watching this through a period of, several weeks and so forth, from hatching to flying. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is a story, because we all have that moment. Are several times in our life that we're like, oh my gosh, can I do it? I don't know. Should I do it? And then once we walk through the door, we're like, I don't know what I was so afraid of, because off you're soaring. And I just thought that was a message that we all need to hear. And so, to me, this book is ageless.
Let's bring in Jessica. Jessica Bertis, I know you're reading a master's degree, a postgraduate degree in children's literature at Trinity College, Belfast, Dublin, of course. Any thoughts or questions you'd like to put to Diane at present, who's currently based in Texas, so it's Dublin to Texas, really.
Yeah, so I personally would really love to know what it is about children's literature that kind of feels like your genre and why you chose to write in that field.
Sure. First of all, I've always been a storyteller since I could remember. My background is education, so I've been in the classroom from preschool through eighth grade at various times. And no matter what age I'm with, when I'm in the classroom, even going back and working with teachers and students, I'm just like, I'm in my element. And when I'm with the little ones, I'm just really in my element, because they have so much energy and they have so much to share, and I just want to learn from them. And so writing books and getting their ideas and thoughts is very exciting to me.
Do you ever kind of find that children will come up to you and talk to you about the book?
Oh, yes. And before COVID, I would go into a couple of the schools and I would share with the kiddos my ideas because I knew the teacher and she'd let me do circle time and so forth. And they would say, "Oh, well, I think la 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 la," you know, and then I'd come back and read the first draft and they're like, some of them are like, "That's really good," and others are like, "You know, I really think this should happen." And I'm like, "Why?" You know, and get their thoughts. And then I'd come back and get their approval for the final round. What better people to have edit a children's book, right?
That sounds perfect. Yeah, go right to the audience.
Straight to the audience. And they're not afraid to tell you like it is.
Yeah.
We spoke back in April, Diane, about obviously the messages of peace that you were looking to put out in terms of, if memory serves, the whole essence of the Song of Peace, the importance of peace, the making our own peace song, working through that. I mean, again, this Song of Peace, which is worth coming through from that. How has that been progressing? How has the Song of Peace movement been establishing? Because Lord knows, when we said then, and that was just shortly after the Ukraine scenario was taking up the news headlines. How successful do you think it's actually being, and do you feel as though it's a case of, well, we need to keep on with this Song of Peace? No good just saying it's over in April, it needs to go through September, October, and so on.
You know, I wish I could say a lot of people were still emailing in little snippets of them singing peace, you know, peace, peace, or saying peace, 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 and so forth. But you're right. There, I mean, I need to go back out and remind people because I don't know what it is about people. You know, I guess it's because some people tell me, "Well, you know, a movie's over in an hour and a half, so I don't understand why we can't finish a war in an hour and a half." And so I'm just like, it doesn't work like that in the real world. And we do need to keep putting those words out. And I deeply appreciate you bringing that book up because A Song of Peace, again, it's for everyone. But we first have to have peace in our heart and joy in our heart, and be willing to listen and, you know, in order to create that beautiful world that I think we all would love to see.
And again, looking at the other sort of aspect we discussed, which is obviously the little girl in the moon and the areas with respect to that, are you ever tempted to revisit some of these moonlings and some of these adventures that we've obviously sort of touched upon that, again, you can find on YouTube and, of course, your own website as well?
Yes, thank you. I love the Moonlings, and so yes, I have. And my youngest daughter is in the process of doing the artwork for another Moonling adventure. And because my background is teaching, I like to bring the whole geography, and there's a whole curriculum you can do with it. And in this particular one, it's all about various birds around the world, and so it's going to be very exciting. And I think kids will really love it. And I know teachers in teaching geography, it's a fun way to bring geography in. And again, it's a way of connecting us globally because birds migrate around the world. And so again, there's a way of bringing peace. "Oh, you have that bird. We have that bird too. When does your come? My comes here, blah, 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 blah." And it's just creates a wonderful time to chatter with each other.
You've obviously worked in the diplomatic service. You were connected with respect to that in terms of the ambassadorial system. For many people, and again, we're returning obviously to the state of global affairs, this is a very worrying time. I mean, as I was saying earlier with Jessica, we've had a pandemic. We've had a lot of disagreement, a lot of disharmony with political situations in all countries, not just the United States of America, across the globe. There are issues with respect to that. There's the climate change issue. There is obviously wars still taking place from that point of view. Do you think that now more than ever we need to actually ensure that inwardly we embrace that optimism? I mean, Jessica's very keen on the whole notion of making sure that we have that optimistic outlook, that we actually do think positively from that. Do you think that is just such a vital message that again starts with what you're doing in the school environment?
Absolutely. And you can't have peace until you learn how to listen. And I even though I studied listening and help kids with their reading and comprehension, and there's this whole listening aspect to it, we as adults need to learn to go back and take some listening skills. And so I almost wish our politicians would go and take listening skills and go, oh yeah, we're supposed to work as a team, not like a football game. I got more points, you got more points, la la la. No, it just can't be that way. Until we work as a team, until we learn how to listen, it'll be tough. You're right. My husband was a former diplomat, and so living in various countries and so forth, listening was a very important thing to have it happen in order for different aspects and projects they were working on. And I love being with people from other countries and learning. And I think as we are more and more of a global society, then we have to be accepting of people and their cultures and find how we're more alike than different, which is a theme in a lot of my books.
Jessica, back to yourself.
So I was actually curious about what children's books kind of inspired you in your own childhood and what books you kind of look back on and think that it was very impactful for you.
My mama and daddy would read to us when we were little, so I'm very fortunate about that. We read more of the traditional books, the golden books. I don't you're so young, I don't know if you've heard of the golden
Yeah,
books.
of course.
So, and my mama, I have a lot of her and me as far as drama. So she always enjoyed reading, like Little Red Riding Hood things like that, so she could change the characters. And so I always loved any books that had that in it. I think is some of the books that I read to my own children, I still love reading today, which was Alexander and the No Good, Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Do you know that book?
I don't.
Oh, it's a masterpiece. Alexander had just the most horrendous, incredible, horrible day, and Mama sent Alexander to his bedroom to think about it, And as we adults, there are moments that we just need to go and away and think about what just happened so we can come back and be ready to listen, or just know life's going to be okay. And so that was always a book, especially my son enjoyed. And then I just enjoy books with lots of imagination. And you would think I'd be talking about books from like junior high and so forth, but I just still really gravitate to young children's books because the message they have are always for all of us. And sometimes I'd like to go and just read a book and have circle time with our leaders because sometimes they just need to take a moment.
Do you think that in your own stories, do you always try to kind of include those lessons in stories?
Yes. I don't do it on purpose, but I do know what the overall theme that I have for all my books: embrace imagination, to love yourself, to be kind to others, and to have peace in your heart. And so when messages come to me, oh, and to believe in yourself. And when messages come to me for a story, then they naturally come out because all those themes are so embedded in me. And that's been a part of me my whole life. Even if I was on stage singing or with Elvis Presley, you mentioned How Great Thou Art. And oh, if I listen to him sing that, I'm just in another world. It inspires me.
We talked about music, of course, last time, and I believe we featured Doris Day and Que Sera Sera as your choice from that point of view, which is, again, is an interesting philosophical point. We've already featured one Elvis Presley number. Is there another Elvis Presley gospel number which you would particularly like us to put in? I mean, we can go Amazing Grace, Peace in the Valley, You'll Never Walk Alone. What would you like?
I actually love You Never Walk Alone because I think, especially if you're down and you have this moment to remember you're never alone. And in my classroom, I taught in private school, so I had more freedom. to express different things. And so I always shared, no matter what grade I was teaching, and kids were down and they thought it, the world was against them, I would share with them, you are never alone. So that song really resonates with me.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on.
Certainly, obviously connected with the movie Carousel when it was delivered by Shirley Jones, but we just heard it
Really
from
good.
Elvis Presley. We're speaking to Diane Floyd Boehm, based so currently in Texas. I see in 22 days, 13 hours, 13 minutes, and 54 seconds from now or thereabouts, Charlie and the Tire Swing is going to be emerging from that point of view. Would you like to just tease ahead to Charlie and the Tire Swing, please?
Sure. Oh, I'm thrilled about that. That story has been written for a while, and it finally made it through the process up to the publisher, saying, okay, it's going to be released. And so, Charlie, this particular book is how he came to end up having the tire swing. And then eventually there's going to be adventures. So it's going to be a series. So there's one thing. But the most important thing about this book to me is it's intergenerational because it has great grandpa, grandpa, daddy, and Charlie. And how lovely is that? I'm big into ancestry. So I love for kids to realize that there's this whole family that makes you who you are.
Called the human race as well. Perhaps we need to acknowledge that. There we are.
That's true.
Okay, I'm not sure, Diane, whether your travels ever have taken you to North Carolina, because obviously that's Jessica's normal home when she's not over on this side of the Atlantic, doing various other bits and pieces. But if not, maybe Jessica, you'd like to actually put into the mix the whole question of sweet tea and whether that actually exists in Texas.
Oh yeah, and I'm sure you've had some sweet tea in Texas. So do you drink it very much, Diane?
Oh my gosh, yes, sweet tea, tea. Yes, I'm a tea girl no matter what, even hot tea, so forth. But North Carolina, I've been many times, and it's an
Yay.
absolutely beautiful, beautiful state. And my mama and I used to have mother-daughter trips there, so.
Really, I'm so glad. I love any excuse to brag about my state. I'm kind of
Absolutely,
biased.
sir. The houses are beautiful. The people are beautiful. Now, your barbecue is a little different than us Texans, but I forgive you.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like a barbecue head to head between Texas and North Carolina would be pretty fun. I feel like they're
Yeah,
both
you're
pretty
on. Let me
enthusiastic
know
about
when
their
you're
barbecue.
there. That would be awesome.
I
You
don't
could
know if
so
our barbecue culture has made it over there, Alex.
Well, certainly barbecues, yes, but not the difference between not the subtleties of the North Texas or the North Carolina versus the Texas one. This is something which clearly you need to actually just approach. See how it goes down in Ireland first, and then we'll sort of take it in
There we
terms
go.
of the United Kingdom from that point of
Because
view.
Joss barbecue, it's grill is how you use that term, right? Where we're like all about the sauce, and having drip all over.
Yeah, I think in North Carolina we're not as big on the sauce. It's more how it's made. That's like the big deal here.
Okay. There you go. See, already different. She's gonna
Oak.
freak out when I start pouring tons of sauce on my barbecue.
Well, do you have boiled peanuts? That's another big question.
No.
There we have something that you and Alex both need to try. Some
Clearly.
boiled peanuts.
I'm shocked that boiled peanuts hasn't actually gone statewide and hasn't actually been part of the Texas experience. This is, astounding, but never mind.
It has, but I haven't seen it.
It could be a whole new world. Diana, people want to actually stay in touch with yourself. Obviously, you've got YouTube channels. Do you have any other social media you'd like to promote at present?
Sure, we have the regulars, Twitter, Facebook, my website, and Instagram. And you can reach it all by going to dianefloydbame.com. Let me spell my names because I made all three difficult. DianeFloydBohm.com. And Floyd
Well,
actually is from the UK, just to let you know, my ancestry.
there you go. Which part is it? Is it Ireland, Scotland, Wales, England?
So I'm a Heinz 57 of everything, if you looked at all the maiden names, but Floyd is a Welsh. It used to be double LOYD, and the king sent Richard Floyd to and Richard Smith, which is also a grandfather, to Long Island in the 1600s. Long Island wasn't part of New York yet, and the Danes had New York, so it was time to bring the UK to Long Island, and that's my ancestry.
And of course, much beloved for its Long Island tea, I believe. So we're back to tea in its own sort of way. It's
Except
only,
that has alcohol in it, but
well,
it's
indeed
good.
so. Jessica, any closing thoughts from yourself?
I would say if someone wanted to start reading your books, which one would you recommend they start with?
Really depends on the age. Really depends on the age. If they're a preschooler, I would say The Little Girl in the Moon because it's almost an easy reader book. If it was an explorer, I would say The Moonlings. And if it was adventure and believing in yourself, then definitely A New Time, A Time to Fly, and Charlie when he comes out. Lots going to be happening.
Terrific as ever, Diane, and delighted to connect with your good self. We've got the two final questions that we've actually reached, which again, it's been an unusual Author of the Week feature, but at the same time, we appreciate the fact that you were able to join us and obviously share your own thoughts on the passing of Queen Elizabeth. Jessica, would you like to put the first question to Diane, please?
I would love to. Diane, have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today?
Oh, absolutely. I always feel honored to be with y'all. I love that it's the two of you. And I am glad that I was able to share my true sadness for the passing. So. Very, very sad. But I love what you do. I love how you guys on your podcast get out there and share and speak to the world and enlighten us. So thank you for these opportunities and thank you for what you're doing for the world.
Well, thank you, Diane. And the next question, of course, is can we look forward to seeing you again in further happier circumstances? Hopefully, in the next few months, will you come back and join us?
I would love to, and I would love to ring Charlie the Tire Swing to you because a portion of it, because I think you're going to love it. And again, because it's so generational.
You see right now the world is listening to